Okay, so let's unpack this. Have you ever tried to do that thing? Name the color of the word AD when it's printed in, like blue ink.
Ah, the Stroop effect, yeah.
Exactly. That classic cognitive clash where your brain feels like it's fighting itself. That's kind of the jumping off point for our deep dive today.
Right.
We're exploring how information actually travels across the two halves of your brain.
The hemispheres, yeah.
And we're going to challenge a pretty long-held assumption, actually, thanks to some really fascinating research. It's a paper by Brown, Thrasher, and Paul.
The one on interhemispheric Stroop effects and ACC.
That's the one, a genesis of the corpus callosum. So our mission today is, well, to uncover some surprising stuff about brain connectivity.
And maybe find out which pathways are, secretly more important than we thought.
Yeah, like thinking the only way across town is the main highway, but discovering a back alley's been doing all the work.
Exactly.
So first, just a quick refresher on the Stroop effect itself. You know, it measures how quickly you name an ink color when there's a conflicting word.
Like seeing BLUE written in red ink,
Yeah.
it just takes you longer to say red.
Right. And researchers took this a step further. They started looking at interhemispheric Stroop effects.
Which is fascinating. How they do that is they present the color to one side of your visual field, so it goes to one hemisphere, and the word to the other side going to the other hemisphere.
So you have to transfer the information across, right, between the hemispheres to actually do the task.
Precisely. It forces that communication.
And for ages, I mean, the scientific community pretty much assumed the corpus callosum, you know, that huge bundle of nerves connecting the two
The
sides.
main highway,
Yeah,
basically.
the main highway. They assumed it was absolutely crucial, maybe the only route necessary for this kind of interhemispheric thing.
Well, and that assumption wasn't, totally unfounded. There was earlier research, a study by David back in 92, I think.
Oh, right.
It involved just one person with ACC, that's the genesis of the corpus callosum, born without a full one. And that study, it suggested, well, much weaker interhemispheric Stroop effects without the callosum.
But just one person, that's a tiny sample size, isn't it?
It is. And that's where this new study gets really interesting.
Yeah, the Brown paper we're looking at, they completely revisited this. They had nine individuals with either complete or partial ACC. And importantly, these were people with normal intelligence, minimal other neurological issues.
Right, relatively clean cases of ACC.
And crucially, they also checked, using imaging, I assume, for the presence of the anterior commissure in most of them, another smaller connection.
Yes, exactly. And when you look at the big picture findings, well, it kind of flips the old idea on its head.
How so?
These individuals with ACC, they showed interhemispheric Stroop affects the interference, the facilitation, that were remarkably similar in size,
Similar to who?
similar to the control participants, the ones with a normal, fully formed corpus callosum.
Wow, okay. So that strongly suggests the corpus callosum is not actually necessary for these interactions.
That's the implication, yeah. For this type of semantic interference across hemispheres, it seems it's not the necessary pathway.
So if the big highway isn't essential for this specific job, what's taking its place? What did the researchers suggest?
That's the key takeaway, really. They point towards the anterior commissure.
The smaller connection they checked for?
Exactly. It's much smaller than the corpus callosum, but it connects important areas, particularly in the temporal lobes, which are key for, language and meaning. Semantic processing.
Ah, okay.
So the thinking now is that this alternative route, this anterior commissure, is likely handling the transmission of that semantic info that causes the Stroop effect between hemispheres.
That's a pretty significant finding. What does that mean more broadly, like for understanding the brain or clinical research?
Oh, it has big implications. It really reshapes how we might interpret some things, especially clinically. Think about it. There have been studies, say, in conditions like schizophrenia, that found abnormal interhemispheric Stroop effects. And they interpreted that as evidence of corpus callosum problems, dysfunction.
Right, that makes sense based on the old assumption.
But now, this new evidence suggests those findings might actually be reflecting the functional status of the anterior commissure instead.
So we might have been looking at the wrong pathway.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
It fundamentally shifts our view of which connections are doing what, especially for complex cognitive tasks involving meaning.
Wow. So what seems like a clear case, corpus callosum is king for this, turns out to be, well, mediated by this other often overlooked pathway.
That's a great way to put it.
It's not just a minor detail. It kind of demands we reevaluate how we look at certain neurological conditions or interpret specific test results.
Absolutely. And it's just a good reminder, isn't it, that scientific understanding is always evolving. Even ideas that seem really well established based on solid prior evidence, they can still be overturned or refined when new data comes along. We have to be open to that.
Definitely. Okay, so the final thought for you, our listener, to sort of mull over from today's deep dive. How many other assumptions, maybe ones that feel really solid, whether in science or just, you know, in your own life, how many might need a second look with fresh eyes and maybe some surprising new evidence?